Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heaven or hell.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
Are y'all ready for this?
Yeah.
That's what I was hoping for. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Who Goes Their Podcast, episode 294. This is Jorge.
Greetings, fellow kids. My name is Matt.
So I walk upon high and I step to the edge to see my world below. This is Rhett.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Collective souls.
Thanks. Nice.
Yeah,
well, the world is falling apart.
Is it?
GameStop stock is through the fucking
that's
roof.
Fucking that's great. Tight.
The
that's
internet so has devoured Wall Street at this
that's
point.
Tight.
It's fucking dope.
And then they shut it down. So they're like, that's basically like the old bitch who flips over the Monopoly board when they start losing.
All these hedge fund fuckers have like lost their own game and now they're all pissed off about it.
They're like, whoa, you're treating it like a casino.
Yeah.
Yep. That's right.
That's the idea.
That's right.
That's exactly right.
I've been kind of following it for a couple of weeks now because there's this guy on Reddit, specifically on Wall Street Bets. The guy turned $55,000 into $50 million over
Jesus
the course
Christ.
Of like 2 years. He had GameStop stock 2 years ago.
That's crazy.
He bought $55,000 worth of it and was just like, I'm going to hold it.
That's
crazy. I'm going
to
hold
it. Buy GameStop stock 2 years ago.
Yep.
Well, because it's so counterintuitive. It's like a Ponzi scheme type deal, you know, because it's losing income. The stock is fucking going through the roof while the actual thing.
Well, they game the system. So which is dope.
Yeah. $600 stimulus checks. A lot of $600 stimulus checks.
A lot of, you know, and what's crazy, dude, is a lot of people I was watching were posting like, I put in, you know, like my last $1,000 I had for the year and I'm up like $27,000. It's like crazy. It's crazy.
Maybe I'll do that with my $1,400 stimulus check.
Not anymore. You can't.
No. I mean, just throw it on the market. See what I could do.
It is one of those things, you know, that
easy come, easy go.
It's a byproduct again of internet stuff because it wouldn't have been, you wouldn't get organized with this group of people across whatever sectors they live all over the place.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
so
how
I mean, it's what's crazy about it is that like this small community on Reddit basically disrupted Wall Street. It's crazy. It's fucking nuts, man.
Yeah.
And they
it just shows how it's all fake.
Pretty much.
Which
pretty
is dope.
Fucking much. So yeah, how you guys been?
Pretty good.
Fucking stressed, man.
Stressed. Yeah.
If there's anybody out there that's listening to this and having a stressful time, dude, me too.
I was stressed.
I have nothing
did
profound
you just
for
me
you.
Too'd?
Me too. Dude.
I was stressed Tuesday because I was snowed the fuck in.
Yeah.
And I was like desperate to get out, dude, because I didn't sleep very well. So anywho, we were on like a family trip out in Julian. With Ronnie's family.
Yeah, you're on your first vacation in how long?
In like 2 years.
That's
like,
fucked.
Yeah, it's my first like time off. Like I had like forced time off at the beginning of COVID, but I was working every other week, but I was also remodeling my fucking bathroom and it was not restful. So this week has been the first week I've taken off just not doing anything. I'm still doing shit around the house, but
has it been restful?
No,
oh.
No, not at all.
He just said he had to shovel himself out of the snow.
Yeah, that
doesn't
was not.
I was helping him segue back to it.
So we go out there Sunday, and there's a little bit of snow on the ground. I'm like, all right, cool. This is good. And Ronnie's aunt was like, well, it's supposed to snow tomorrow. Ronnie Van Zant said it's supposed to snow tomorrow, and it's just not as much as we were thinking we were going to get. So she was like, oh, I'm sorry you came up on kind of a shitty snow day. And I was like, okay, cool, whatever.
She'd be like, yeah, what the fuck?
So Monday rolls around, dude, and it absolutely fucking dumps snow. Like, I'm talking over the course of like 6 hours, 12 inches.
It's got to be pretty good to be like in it though.
It was nice. I will say it was cool to be able to like go out in the snow for a couple hours, come back in, get warmed up, have some beers, go back out, you know, whatever, let the kids fuck around.
Then you got to pay the piper later, dude.
Yep. And then so like Tuesday morning, I try to move my truck. And we were kind of on an incline, and I my truck had chains on it, and it was going up, and then about halfway up the hill, nothing. We just kind of spinning wheels. So I was like, okay, let me creep back down here. We were literally snowed in for another day, and I was losing my fucking mind because I didn't sleep very well, and I was like, dude, I can't have another night of this.
Stressed out, no sleep, George.
Yeah, dude.
Been there, seen that.
It was bad, dude. But then I think once I had come to terms with the fact that I was staying there another night. I was like, all right, cool.
It was whatever. Like Groundhog Day.
It was bad, dude. And I woke up yesterday morning and I was like, you know what, motherfuckers? I'm going to dig my way out of this fucking snow. And I dug 200-foot trenches in the snow to get my ass out.
It's like, I'm fucking tired of being with your family.
No, it wasn't. I mean, they're super cool. I was tired of being with my family. My fucking kids were I fucked my kids, dude. Like
I was gonna ask how your kids were.
They were good. So like it was kind of a progressive thing. Like they were really good the first day, okay the second day, kind of shitty the third day, and the fourth day I wanted to strangle both of them. So we were all ready.
You guys just like in the house for 4 days?
No,
it's like the lodge. You lived the lodge right now.
I didn't see the movie, so I don't know what you're talking about. But I'll
almost.
Except they didn't bore me to death.
Hey.
No. Ronnie's aunt and uncle are super cool. Like they're great to hang out with. If it was them and me and Ronnie, we would have had a great time. But I was fucking losing my mind with my children. So I was happy to get out.
Kids.
Yeah. Have them. Don't have kids. Look, I have told everyone don't have kids. And then fucking Turk goes and gets his fucking.
Dude, we've been telling him for years.
You guys don't listen to me. I'm telling you, don't do it. It's awful.
From day one, you've been advocating against it. I mean, then you went and had a second one because reasons.
I don't know, dude.
Remember when you told me that you were having a second kid and I broke my phone? Like, I was so shocked that my phone broke. I went to go show it to Alia. Like, just.
You were one of the first ones we told, too, man.
I threw my phone into the street. That shit
was funny, man.
Just like, great. Your fucking kid just broke my phone.
Great.
Great.
Anyhow, how are you guys?
Red stress.
Red stress.
I'm stressed, but I'm feeling good. You know what? I missed you guys.
I'm less stressed.
I'm so glad I don't have kids. I felt really shitty. And now, like. I feel pretty good.
Yeah, I've got like work stress problems, not like, I mean, those are real existential.
Oh, I think they're both.
It is. It all is, right? I get how it's all relative and whatnot, but it's different, man. I mean, it's different. These aren't life forms I care for. Like, it is.
Well, no, it is.
Is actually. Work involves that. Never mind.
Yeah.
It's pretty fucked.
Matt, still not working?
Nope.
Great.
Floating through life, purposelessness. I don't know what that.
Purposeless.
Purposeless.
The spine gets shittier and the records get bigger.
Yeah. Yeah. Whole lot of fucking nothing going on.
Nice.
Not a goddamn thing.
I am looking forward to some upcoming new movies coming out, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What's that?
Well, I guess that goes well into what we watched a little bit. Okay. Like, but I watched Psycho Gorman. And we're going to...
Next week?
Ari Gorman.
Psycho Gorman. What? What'd you say?
Ari Gorman.
Who the fuck is that, dude?
He's a Jewish lawyer.
Oh, is that on that show, Entourage or something?
No, sure. that's a joke of ours that we've been doing.
Okay. Yeah, I got to save that for the show next week. Yep. Watch that.
That's going to be his fucking mutant blast. He's going to get a fucking... He's going to get a something tattooed on him. I can almost guarantee it.
Not why I don't have any
tattoos. Don't say it.
He's not going to get that Johnny Five tattoo.
I still want to do Johnny Five on the cross.
You say that.
We'll get it, dude. You'll get it.
It was supposed to be done with the Patreon fundage.
Yeah.
And we said make it happen.
We said make it happen.
I think COVID threw a.
You guys make it. I'm going to make it happen when it's on my body. The rest is like, I don't have anything to do.
He's like, I don't know any tattoo artists. I don't have any money.
I'll text Turk.
Yeah. I'll provide the canvas. And the idea.
Make it happen.
All right.
Okay. All right, cool. I'll do it. And then I'll get some Psycho Gorman shit, maybe. Maybe he's right.
Yeah.
No, I don't know about that. But I watched a movie called Under the Shadow, which is from 2017. It's an Iranian horror film. And it takes place during the 1980s Iran-Iraq War. And I considered like throwing that up for one of the episodes, but I opted to watch. It's pretty damn good. Pretty good. It's on Netflix.
Cool.
So I'm really enjoying, I think it's one of the best things that's happened because of streaming, but also because of the pandemic the last year. Is just foreign films are getting more and more of an audience. You know what I'm saying?
I think it's people are desperate to see anything.
Well, yeah. That's what I mean too. It's changed the model though, because you're not going to generally release foreign films to a theater, but if you're streaming, you get what I'm saying?
Yep.
There's a lot more of that. But I watched a movie called Pulse, which is a Japanese horror movie from 2004, I believe. Mm-hmm. That was the one I had initially selected for tonight. I'd like to save that in case we ever fucking do a J... What is it called?
J-pop month.
A J-pop month. That would be my selection. Because
J-pop arguably better than K-pop.
This is literally what I told Jorge, by the way. I said, Matt, I was thinking of you. I said, Matt...
He didn't like that.
Matt's been a little... J-pop is officially what?
I like J-pop more than I like K-pop.
Well, yeah. I like Japan more than I like K. I like J more than K. I. Well, there you go.
I long for Japan every day.
J is a much better letter than K.
This morning I had tickets in my shopping cart or whatever to buy for Japan for January of next year.
Even SK can't hold a candle to just J.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All of J.
All of it, like the
except for the pop,
the patriarchal shit. You like that shit too?
Yeah, you're into that.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta respect your daddy, right?
They're pretty into that. But Pulse. I told Jorge, I said it's super. I don't want to talk about it in case we ever do it. But I said Matt's been a little depressed and I think lonely, and I don't want to do this right now.
Thinking of you, dude.
I really was. And so then I switched to Angel Heart.
You were thinking of me when we watched this movie.
Okay. Hell motherfucking yeah. Believe it or not. But Pulse, I'll have a lot to say.
I'd much rather be depressed than bored.
I'll just say I would recommend people watch Pulse if you haven't.
All right.
Yeah. I watched Sweeney Todd. You guys like that movie?
That's a mistake.
Mm. No, I like that movie.
You would.
Of course I would.
Jinx, owe me a blowjob.
Yeah. Yeah, I would. What? Is that okay?
No.
Well, fine.
Watch Across the Universe, bitch.
Fuck that movie.
You want to watch a musical?
That movie's a piece of shit.
That movie's good.
They're like Strawberry Fields Forever showing literally showing strawberries.
Yeah.
That's a good point, man.
It's fucking not good. Point, yeah. That movie's not.
Oh, so you missed it. You missed the point of it. Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
You got it.
Velocipaster. Okay, that leads to a...
Okay.
This is... You know, I like the accidental comedies, the ones that are so bad that they're good because they're trying to be serious and they end up being fucking hilarious, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm, sometimes it works when they know they're bad to me. Like, Lamageddon was much better than it should be because it obviously knows it's trash and leans into it. But it has a fucking llama shooting lasers out of its eyes. This Velocipaster business, though, I couldn't get past the first 30 minutes because it knows it's bad.
You couldn't get Velocipast it?
Nah, I couldn't get Velocipast it at all. Did you try this one at all?
No.
I think I remember Baron Corbin saying it was fun. Like that.
Of course he would.
It's fucking awful. When this raptor Tom comes
like
out.
Shit movies.
I know the raptor's going to look like shit, but like at least... Not like this,
yeah.
You know, like don't fuck like that when you're going to have a
You're telling
sheep.
Me it doesn't look as good as the Thanksgiving turkey?
Dude, turkey it looks tight.
Honestly, nowhere near as good as the Thanksgiving turkey.
Whoa.
The Thanksgiving turkey looks like fucking Jurassic Park. Like, so, and then it's like, oh, that's the thing. It's trying to look trashy. I'm like, yeah, dude, like look.
He's like, yeah, but no, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah but no, but yeah, but look something, do something
you
with your trash.
And you missed.
Right.
All right.
I convinced
Hi Sophia
to watch Avengers Endgame and
fuck yeah you did.
Yeah, I did. And fucking I did the thing after like the first 20 minutes. I'm like, I'm going to turn it off, okay? Cuz you know, cuz I really had to convince her.
Why does he do this? It's such a funny bit.
I think it's because he wants her to like the validation.
He wants to be needed.
You know, he wants to be right.
Well, it's both,
be
right?
Like, well, because I'm getting resistance. Like I'm trying to convince her to watch certain movies, and I'm like, why?
You're trying to convince her that you're right all the time.
No, I'm like,
so when you try to slip in a fucking dead ringers, you'll be like, what? So, okay.
She liked it. We started dead ringers just out of.
And she didn't like it?
No, she did. She did like it.
Why didn't you finish it?
Because I wanted to watch something fun, and that's not fun.
How often do you put on a movie and turn it off in the middle for something else?
Not too often, honestly. Because
that seems it's fucking weird to me. It's so weird.
Is it?
Well, people that read multiple books at a time, like, I don't know how the fuck
it's like you listening to an album. Like, I'll be like, nah, not right now.
No, because albums are broken up into chunks. Like, you can listen to three movies. Songs. No, they're not. I mean, they're acts.
I get what you're saying.
There's no, like, you know, well, I mean, unless you're
ideally,
watching
too, an album, like a real album, isn't, like, yeah, it's in different songs, but you listen to it as one piece.
Right. I mean,
it's just like there's different scenes. In a
certain way, but
yeah.
But not every album flows seamlessly together, you know? And there's some songs that are better than others. You can take them and leave them. But like with books and fucking movies and stuff with plot and things that you have to follow and people you have to remember, just having all that shit mixed and stopping a movie and picking it up later.
Yeah, you're really...
That's weird.
You're very analytical this evening.
Weird.
It's fucking weird. He puts a headband on and he turns
into... The fuck is with that, man? I came in here...
I'm keeping my fucking hair out of my face, but I don't want to tie it up because I just washed it. Keep my fucking
hair out of my face. Cut your hair.
I don't want to cut my hair.
Just buzz it, dude. Be like us.
No.
Come on.
Yeah, buzz it all the way. Do it.
One of us. Why don't you be like me? Why don't you grow your hair out?
One of us. Because we're fucking bald, bro.
Yeah, man. It's not a good look for us.
Yeah. So let me enjoy mine while I got it.
So... Avengers Endgame has to be one of the best to show to your lady friends, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, it's got
a lot of fucking in it.
No, there's a lot of romance at that end with Captain America and going back in time and shit, mm-hmm. and all the comedy and it's great stuff.
Yeah, dude, Endgame is fantastic.
It is. Oh, and then we watched Being John Malkovich.
Malkovich.
Malkovich. That's what, and so we're in the middle of Velocipastor. I'm like, no, let's watch Being John Malkovich instead. I don't know where the fuck.
I mean, that's a good choice.
Right.
That's where his mood went.
But yeah, because I'm like, she hasn't seen any Charlie Kaufman stuff. She'll love Charlie Kaufman. And yeah, I think she likes Charlie Kaufman stuff now. So we're gonna go through his stuff.
Okay.
But that's it.
He looked at his phone as if he had a list on it, but all he did was check the time. What a weird bit.
There's my list. Is that everything? Under the Shadow and Pulse, I would recommend though, for okay. sure.
Neat. Ronnie and I continue to watch, what's the name of that? Hold on 1 second. The show with the fucking Money New York Heist. Hipsters, Search Party. Ah. Dude, it's pretty good. It's silly as fuck. And these New York hipsters are driving me crazy, but there's some things that are happening. It's pretty good. Pretty good. I don't think I watched
it. How did you even hear about this fucking show?
It's on HBO Max.
Oh.
I was looking for something to watch that was...
Both of you guys got HBO Max? And if so, why isn't anybody letting me use their password?
I'll let you have it.
Yeah. Give it to me,
I think
daddy.
I get like 6 profiles.
Wait, this is from 2016?
But there's a new season that just premiered like
4 6 months ago. Self-absorbed 20-somethings who become entangled in an ominous mystery when a former colleague...
Just read that out loud.
Fuck,
what the... Just say it.
No, it's the... Read the fucking thing out loud.
Yeah,
it's the IMDb synopsis.
Oh, shit. What about you, Matt?
I watched a movie where you see Ben Affleck's dick...
That's Gone Girl.
That was pretty good.
He's got a good.
Oh wait, you hadn't seen that movie.
No. He's got a good piece too.
I did not think that movie was gonna be that good, but it was good.
It's David Fincher, dude.
Is that really his dick? That's it's his fucking
piece.
Huge.
He's got a good piece.
It's got to be fluffed, but even still, like homeboy's hanging dong. Why
I know people hate on Affleck. I know people hate on him, right?
But he's got a huge.
What did you think that he wouldn't have a huge? Look at the guy.
I mean, like.
You think he can act like a fucking cock like that and then have nothing to back
not
it up?
Not a cock like that?
You know,
yeah, he definitely fucks like that.
Yeah, damn. That was.
Yeah, he's got a good piece.
He's and a broad-shouldered bitch.
What's her name? Rosamund Pike?
Yeah, she does a great job.
Fantastic in that film.
Good shit. Good.
Great score by Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross. Mm-hmm.
The audiobook is also real good. I highly recommend it.
I watched something else that was like 2.5 hours long, but I don't remember what it was, but it was also real good. If I remember, I'll let you know. I watched Annihilation again. That was also about 2.5 hours long.
Love that.
That's real good.
The book, not so much.
I haven't watched.
They went a different way with the vibe, from what I can tell.
Yeah, the book is weird.
Well, I think he. That's what I mean. I think Alex Garland took it as a. a jumping off point. Like he like, you know,
yeah, he did his own thing.
The premise is, and do your own thing with it.
Thank you. Cause it's much better than the book. One of those rare instances.
And the book was written as part of a continuum. Like there was going to be more after it. Annihilation stands on its own.
What's weird about that trilogy though, is that like the three books.
It's a trilogy.
Yeah.
The Southern Reach trilogy. The
three books have almost nothing to do with each other. Like that's,
oh, like
that's,
the Cloverfield movies.
Kinda. But, but
I don't like that.
Less clunky.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't fuck that. And that's most, I think that's all I watched, but I played, Ollie has been getting a bunch of these little flash games on Itch.io. You know about Itch.io? Mm-mm. I guess it's kind of like Steam and Epic, but it's like more developers uploading their games directly, and a lot of them are free or like play what you want. Okay. So, but she's been getting all these horror games, and I played this one called The Doll Shop. About like a missing child in this like small village, and you play this doll shop owner, and it's a little spoopy, it's a little fun. It only takes about an hour to get through. I kept playing The Forest with my buddy Adam or Alan. Whoops. Alan, he's a Patreon subscriber too.
We attempted to play Phasmophobia.
Oh yeah, we did. We'll get to that. Hold okay. On. So, but The Forest, dude, it's not over when you think it's over. So like, you know, you find your boy, and there's like the stuff with the boy, and seems
like Lost, the boy.
Yeah.
My boy.
Yeah. No, Walt.
My boy. I fucking, dude, we have been watching Lost. Like kind of like, in, like,
don't do it.
Well, so we're still in season one.
Okay.
Season one's fantastic.
Season one fucks.
I fucking hate Michael. I hate fucking Walt. Yep. I hate what's her name?
Who?
Michelle
Rodriguez?
No, she's okay. She's fine.
White girl that ends up with the Indian guy?
Yeah, dude.
I don't remember her name? Anybody's name.
I fucking hate her and her brother.
Who? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I
hate most of the characters, right? On that show.
Huh?
Didn't her, they fucked, they right?
Definitely fucked.
They were like stepbrothers. Yeah. And they fucked.
Everybody else is fine. Like, Kate has her problem.
Super fine.
Hurley's got his issues. Jack's got his issues in terms of like character. But
Sawyer, dude.
For the most part, I fucking hate those four. Yeah. And I wish they would die. Yeah. Always.
No, I get you.
Anyways.
It's totally the same.
The Forest.
Oh, yeah.
Is that more than two people? Two?
You go up to eight.
What?
Eight now, dude. I'm fucking down. Cause like
I'm fucking down.
So it's like you beat the game, right? Or you fit complete whatever, but then like you're left to explore the island still, yeah. And you can find all this other shit that only kind of unlocks after Endgame.
Okay.
And then like
after you watch Endgame, dude?
After Endgame, dude?
And now there's
some Thanos shit in there, dude?
There's new cannibals that come out, and they're all fucking painted white with crosses all over their body. It's fucking weird, dude.
Okay,
so they're Christian cannibals.
The worst kind. So my thought is that like the people came to the island to try to like Christianize the natives, and the natives weren't really like into it.
Dope.
And they kind of ate them.
Western imperialism, so dope.
And then I started Hunt-A-Killer today. And that's fucking tight.
Did you do it with Alia?
So yeah, she bought it for me for Christmas. She bought me like an entire season. It's called The Mine. And we're just going through the first box. We just started today, but there's like little things. I sent you the audio clip because I was like, fuck, what is this? And like, I keep trying to listen to it. And it's like, once you hear...
Oh, I thought you were... I thought that was like a test audio of some sort.
No.
Oh, because I paid zero... I paid fuck all attention to what it was.
I even said, is there anything you can do to it, like to clean it up?
Oh, like, I thought it was like you were doing something.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Well, then I'll pay more attention to it, motherfucker.
No, so I found out what it is, because like, you know, when you... Jesus. Like in the letter that you first read, it's like, once you do blah, 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 you'll get access to this interview. And then like everything is like something that can be explored, you know, and there's stuff on the internet that you can search and all this other stuff. So it says, well, listen to the clip. And if you hear anything like concrete, like get back to me. And so like, I email this thing and I'm like, hey, this is what I heard. And they're like, oh, is that what you like? That's crazy. Cause this is what I heard. It's so similar. And like, they tell you, and so we're kind of just like at the very beginning, but I'm super fucking excited.
Okay, so I got to get it for Ronnie and
yeah,
I.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, cool.
Dude, like I think the one we got might be sold out. But I think we should totally get like the same one. There's a Blair Witch one. And,
okay.
Like, if we all get it and we can all like share clues and stuff.
Nice. Oh, Red won't do it.
You don't think like you, a lot
you
of work.
You don't think you, well, it is, but you don't think you and Sophia would like deep dive into that? Like just exploring clues and trying to figure out.
I'm already
like,
doing that, dude.
I'm already doing that with the deep state nonsense.
I'm doing that with my own mind, bro.
That's actually not dissimilar to the games that Ronnie and I were playing. Like the
I've heard good things about
the,
it.
The basically throwaway games that we were playing. Yeah, it's kind of the same idea. It's super cool.
Yeah. But it's like, it says everything is interactive. And like the first box that we got came with like everything comes with a little souvenir too. And in the first one, we got a tote bag and a, like a keychain, but it's a UV light. And like, so I'm taking every piece of stuff and I'm like shining the UV light on it, trying to find something that like pops out. And it's real fun. It gives my weird brain something to fixate on.
Hell, motherfucking yeah.
I like that. Taking all kinds of meticulous notes. And
oh, that's funny. On their homepage, it says, see if you qualify. That's funny. Like you have to pass a test to be able to get tight. The game. That's hilarious.
You create it's exclusivity that way. That's the thing.
That's cool.
Yeah. Starbelly Sneetches.
First thing you got to do.
Yeah. So that's it.
Are you familiar with the Sneetches, dude?
Matt and I, we played
Phasmophobia.
We played a little bit of Phasmophobia, which was, it's kind of a buggy shit show is what I would first tell everybody who's played it.
There's a lot of those, huh? Shit.
It's, it got a lot of attention, and unless you're a giant chicken shit like me, like it's kind of a terrible
game. It's more annoying than anything in terms of like the actual gameplay mechanics. Yeah. I think like the A to B to C to D stuff is kind of shit. But I will say that the moments that it gets you,
yeah,
it gets you.
Oh yeah.
I think the audio recording stuff is pretty cool, like when you're trying to do the spirit box. I think
fuck that
stuff is really cool.
Fuck that. I'm in this room. I think George is in the truck or something, and I have the spirit box in this. Oh no, we were doing the tutorials.
Yeah, we were just doing the training.
So I was by myself in the game, but I still have George in my headset, and I'm like, okay, I got to get this guy in the spirit. I'm getting chills right now. It's like, you got to like, you know, test the spirit box, see if you can get a response. And it says to ask like, where are you or how old are you? Yeah. And I go into this fucking nursery and I'm like, where are you? And the spirit box goes, here. And I'm like, nope, fuck this. I'm gone. I heard from the spirit box. I'm going to guess what ghost this is. I am gone.
Yeah. The spirit box stuff was, overall, I think they really have to work on the mechanics of the game. Like the point and click aspect of it is really, really shitty. That there are things where I'm like, I just want to turn on the fucking flashlight.
Yeah.
And it's like, three clicks and an F key. And then you have to, it's dumb.
It's really hard to see even when you do have a flashlight.
And you have to go slow.
Yep. Oh God. So slow
to everything.
What platform is this on?
PC. It might be on like PS4 or something.
Speaking of new video games, did you guys see the new fucking Resident Evil fucking trailer? Oh my God.
It looks a lot more action-y than I would have hoped. God. But
the last couple have been like that though.
Oh my God.
Since seven
wasn't.
I've got a new waifu.
Oh yeah.
That fucking tall vampire bitch. Oh, dude,
you hear one of those vampire girls just died? She was like 39 and she just died. She played several roles in it. I don't have the article in front of me. I just saw it on my, I'll see if I can pull it up and talk about
like the Resident Evil. Like,
yeah. The new game.
One of the little witches died.
Yeah. Talk about the trailer.
They've released like two sneak peek trailers and then they just released a new one so everybody has fallen in love with this fucking 10-foot tall vampire bitch. She's a huge bitch.
Yeah.
But It looks to be more like Matt said, more actiony than like puzzle clicky stuff.
Good.
So I'll never play it. Good.
What about part four? You didn't like part four? That's the best part of the fucking series.
Part four is the best.
Yeah. That's more actiony.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
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 So
no,
so,
but okay.
Part five it went.
So there's there no. So yeah. See, five they introduced the co-op mechanic like really bad,
which was messy as fuck.
It was fucking, I remember that, awful, and like that takes away from so much of like the scariness of the game. You know, it's the sense of isolation, the sense that it's you versus all these other things. Yeah, you can run into other characters, but ultimately, like, you can't communicate with them and you can't make them do what you want. But you and I playing together and working as a team where it's like, okay, Rhett, stand over here. And then I'm going to run across the map so we can pull these stupid levers at the same time. Like putting random ass shit like that, it takes away from like the immersion of the game.
Sure.
And then six, I never even bothered playing because I played the demo and it was just way too fucking press X not to die. And I just kind of decided not to do it.
Yeah. So anywho, I'm super excited for that game.
Oh yeah. So Resident Evil Village actor Jeanette Moss dies age 39. She was the face of Lady Dimitrescu's Witches, and she died of colon cancer, diagnosed 8 months ago.
Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah, I guess she played a bunch of roles in the game and passed away. There's a GoFundMe campaign. Yeah.
Cancer's a motherfucker.
It's kind of a shame she doesn't get to see the game come out.
Did you hear about this Cyber Shadow game? I was going to send you this earlier, Jorge.
What is it?
Is it a Metroidvania?
Kind of. It's a 2D platformer. Yeah, you're so funny. It's a 2D action platformer.
Okay, I'm in.
And yeah, they said it's pretty good.
All right, cool.
Yeah, I'll send you this thing.
Any news we should get to, gentlemen?
There's going to be a Ghosts and Goblins remake. It's coming out real soon in the Nintendo eShop, and pre-orders are live now. And that game was a big part of my childhood. That was the first game I ever like traded with a friend, like swapped and borrowed.
Nice.
I remember specifically, vividly being in kindergarten and I borrowed that game from that kid, and we never swapped back, and that was great. And I played so many hours of that game.
I don't know if we talked about it, but the Binding of Isaac newest DLC Repentance has a release date, hopefully.
End of March. Why hopefully? I haven't heard anything.
Dude, Edmund is notorious for pushing release dates. So I'm so
ready. Just wait until the end of March where that's all I stream for like 6 months.
You might actually get some more viewers. Yeah. AMC got a little bit of a cash injection.
Yeah.
Fucking beef injection.
A hot cash injection.
Yeah, so they may be able to weather the storm, so to speak, for the inoculation.
You think so?
Possibly.
I don't know.
I think if anybody's going to be able to do it, it's AMC.
I think that model was going bye-bye anyway, though. I think we'll go back to the model where distributors will have their own theaters in conjunction with their own streaming services. I think
there's laws against that, though.
There were. Those laws were put in place years ago in the 50s. They're no longer relevant.
They're no longer relevant, but are they still on the books?
They are, but they could change those easily. Especially if Disney's like, I want to change this.
I want to change it.
Then they're going to change it. I would like to see it change just because
AMC's got to change their views.
Yeah. They got to totally change their fucking views. Like I'm kind of spent on the whole thing now at this point.
I'm finished.
Finished.
Well, the theater model in itself is kind of fucked anyways. Cause like theaters don't really make money on ticket sales, which is why they can do those, you know, passes. They make money on their concessions. So
that's why it was in trouble anyway.
Yeah.
You know, the thing propping it up, keeping it alive was the Blockbuster model. And now that's really been, momentarily disrupted, you know, at the very least. So I don't know, man. Where did they get this hot beef injection from, though?
I'm sure some sort of angel investors, but
just Reddit.
Yeah, Reddit, dude. All these maybe dorks from Reddit. Yeah, but yeah, I mean they've got enough money to at least like look at 2021 as not a total disaster, and then we'll see what happens in 2022.
Mm.
All right, well, that's it for the first part of the show. We'll see you in a couple of minutes when we come back. Talk about a movie,
Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
You got to the good shit.
I'm sorry. What?
No.
It's just basically YOLO.
It's basically YOLO.
Yeah. You got to die from something. It's like, yeah, you do. It doesn't mean you got to go out and do stupid shit, but it's an excuse to do whatever you want. It's like, okay, well, you know.
Yeah, but you could say it with anything.
It's like, yeah, exactly. Drinking too much diet soda might give you cancer. Okay, well, cool. So I got to die from something. Too much sun might give you cancer. Got to die from something.
I murdered in prison. You got to die from something.
Yeah, bag of spinach.
He's all, yeah.
Fucking E. coli. Yeah, no, but that's the thing. It's like, oh, I want to fucking like steal a car. Okay, cool. You might go to jail and then you might get fucking stabbed.
They killed the dude for stealing a car.
Yeah.
You fucking thief.
Nah, but I mean, like, you know, something. You wind up in jail and then they fucking stab you.
You just stole someone's way to work. Guess you what? Inconsiderate fuck.
You stole someone's bus token.
Yeah, for sure. Hey,
Matt.
Yeah.
Guess what?
What?
We're back. How's it going? Good. You still pretty good?
Yeah. How you bros? Been? How you been?
Ooh, can you tell these dumb motherfuckers about Patreon?
Oof. Let's face it. Your love life isn't going so great. And I hate to be the one to tell you this here, but like I've spoken with your most recent partner and it appears that you're kind of fucking selfish. And you know what would really show them that you're not selfish? I mean, the sex was good and all, but like, if you were really a giving lover, you would give to the Who Goes There podcast by going to patreon.com/WhoGoesThere podcast. And you know what?
We're not just going to take,
we're going to give you too. We're going to give you exclusive content, bonus episodes.
Do you want me to take you?
Yes. To patreon.com/WhoGoesThere podcast.
That's good. Oh, that was good.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm impressed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So the Who Goes There podcast watched 1987's Angel Heart, directed by Alan Parker, written by William Hjortsberg and Alan Parker, starring Mickey Rourke, Robert De Niro, Lisa Bonet, Charlotte Rampling, Stalker Front Lear, Ronnie McGee,
Charlotte Rampling, the old bitch from Dexter, perfect.
Michael Higgins, Elizabeth Whitcraft. Elliot Keener.
Coincidence?
Not at all. Charles Gordon, Dan Florek, Kathleen Wihoit, and a bunch of old white
bitches.
I can't wait. I cannot wait.
Oh, God.
Matthew Smith, what'd you think of Angel Heart?
You're going to be disappointed, just as I was in Angel Heart. I know you want me to hate this movie, but I just can't because I was so fucking bored. Like, I just don't care. This movie is nothing. It was, well, you know what it was? It was an hour and 38 minutes of fucking boredom and disappointment and waiting and just all kinds of tropes that I'm not into.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, I almost want to skip you just because I already know it.
You don't know what I think.
I don't know why you would think anything positive. I mean, like,
Rhett, what'd you think of Angel Heart? As of this viewing.
It's one of Mickey Rourke's best performances. It's one of De Niro's best performances. That does not
say a lot for Mickey Rourke.
Yeah, it does. He's fucking fantastic in it, Matt. He's a great performance.
Highly disagree.
Okay. Highly. Well, that's unique.
I also couldn't tell that was Mickey Rourke for like the first 35 minutes.
Oh,
Robert De Niro for the first 5 minutes.
Mickey Rourke has had some unfortunate things done to him and by him.
I did not know anything about Mickey Rourke pre-wrestler. So like this is just
mind blowing.
Yeah. No, I didn't know who Mickey Rourke was at all before the wrestling.
Have you ever 98 weeks'd? Bruh. 9.5 weeks, I mean.
I think it's, aside from the last 30 seconds where they make some unfortunate choices with yellow eyes, this is, I'm in the camp that considers this, it's grown in stature with time. I consider this one of the best horror films of the 1980s.
How is this a horror film? Because the devil's in it?
Well, it's a horror film because there's satanic worship. There's people getting their hearts cut out. Mm. There's a soul selling. There's someone fucking their daughter.
It's a without crime knowing drama. It.
Yeah, it's
with some blood in it.
Well, no, not because it's
the devil.
Not because all of that makes it a horror film. The ending makes a horror film. The selling your soul makes it a horror film. There's stuff all over it about religion and belief. I'm not answering your question about horror films anymore. Like it's a mystery, like neo-noir horror film. And I like that the genre mashup there, especially particularly the last 45 minutes, like demonstrate how it's a horror film. I think, I mean, the shit that happens with his daughter, that sex scene is fucking horrific. Like, the movie actually garnered an NC-17 rating at first, believe it or not, by the MPAA. And the director...
Because of the implication.
Well, no, because of the fucking... They said that scene was too graphic, and there's barely anything particularly graphic in it, you know? And we don't see any of the murders, which is probably something that Matt doesn't like. But if you see the murders, you don't know that he did it.
You see them later. I mean... I kind of felt like he did it from the first dude, the guy with the bullet, with the way he touched the gun and wiped everything off. I felt like he did it. Right. I didn't see the body swappy shit, but
right. I didn't know quite. I didn't like the first time I watched. This is one of those films too, where I watched the first time like 5 years ago, and I was just shocked it existed. I didn't know like how I had missed it. No, meaning that I had never seen it.
I'm shocked.
But the art direction is fucking amazing. Like, which is the recreation of time and place, the set design, the director did the wall. And I think it's extremely atmospheric. I watched it last night too, because it was late at night, because I wanted to refresh on it again. I watched it with headphones on, and it was really fucking cool, because there's different things. I didn't hear stuff in the soundscape of the movie till I did that. There's whispers and all sorts of different stuff. But yeah, I think it's one of the best horror films of the 1980s, except for the last 30 seconds.
That's rough.
Yeah, and Jorge doesn't like it.
So here's what I'm gonna tell you. I think there's some well done stuff happening. I do. I think.
Like
I,
what?
I think it does the 50s pretty well. Like the.
I didn't know it was the 50s until like halfway.
I think like it does
start with the 50s. Like
it does some cool set pieces, and there are some things happening, but boy howdy, is this the corniest fucking thing.
Thank you.
I have ever, not ever, maybe not ever, but the corniest fucking thing I have seen in quite some fucking time.
Oh,
bro.
Yeah.
When we got to Louis.
Oh God,
dude. But dude, I almost my skeleton almost crawled outside of my body and kicked my nuts, dude. I was like, oh, it's a Satan joke,
dude. Oh! Same. I was like, when he said,
brother,
Louis Cypher, I was like, oh, fuck brother, off.
And this is the first time I've seen this movie, so I wasn't I know what the joke is. I didn't know what the joke was. Same. But when that joke laid its meaty pipe on me, I wanted to kill myself right then and there.
Okay, so apart from the names you guys didn't like.
Okay, but then there was also Yellow-Eyed Baby. There was also Yellow-Eyed Robert De Niro with these fucking ridiculous fingernails. Because we're like, is he the devil?
I just thought he did a bunch of coke.
Is he the devil,
maybe
dude?
Maybe he played flamenco.
He might do a lot of coke.
He does coke from all of his fingers.
He's like...
No, well, he's saying that because people who do a lot of coke generally have long fingernails.
Yeah. I just...
People who play flamenco do, too.
We'll talk about it more, but I just think that...
Fingernails, yellow eyes, and the goofy name.
I just think that all of it is just this side of a fucking, like, Cartoon Network special of some goofy shit. I think, like, the stuff that we're like, oh, it's his daughter, but do you get it, dude? Do you get it? It's about ritual sacrifice, bro. Have you seen the blood coming from the fucking ceiling? I thought it was kind of corny bullshit.
A little fucking cute.
It was a little fucking cute, yeah.
I didn't get a cute vibe from it at all.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
In my own opinion.
I mean, there was definitely things I liked, namely the last like 30 minutes. That was
especially cool. Yellow Baby, dude.
I popped for Yellow Baby.
I stand for Yellow Baby.
They brought, like I know this is the very last scene, but they brought the baby out of the room. And my first thought was like, that's really fucked up that they're just like showing this baby his dead mother. It's just there on the bed. And then I was like, oh, and that baby's looking at him. Does he realize he's the grandfather? And then the baby's eyes glow and he points his finger. And I'm like,
well, dude, and that whole conversation that Mickey Rourke has with De Niro at the end, where he's like, well, would Mephistopheles been a better name? Like,
yeah,
that would have been a better name than fucking than the shit you came up with for this instance.
Well, it's hard to pronounce.
Mephistopheles. But yeah. I mean, like, plus, like,
yeah, you know, Cyferi was better.
He had to.
Well, that's the thing. People have last names, man. Like, someone has that last name. So if you think it's dumb, okay, but someone actually has it.
Okay, I mean, it's like, yeah, Cypher is cool, but it's like Louis Cypher and
Louis Cypher CK.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, the biggest problem I have with that is that it makes it like immediately apparent what the situation is, but still, like you said, I don't have a clue that he's the same guy because it doesn't make sense if he's the same guy.
I disagree that it makes it obviously apparent because neither one of us. And when did you get it? Because I didn't get it until Mickey Rourke.
So
what's
like,
the problem then?
That it's fucking corny.
I agree, like, but like if you didn't get it, you didn't get it. So it's a perfectly fine name. Like it's a name that you didn't get. You didn't think, oh, he's Lucifer.
No, I didn't. It didn't ruin it for me, but that's not the issue.
Oh, you mean the Lucifer bit?
Yeah.
Oh, the first time he said it.
Yeah. See, I did.
Yeah, I didn't get it until
the first time he said Louis Cypher. I go,
Well, and the thing is, too, people who are Satan worshipers often do that. They do shit like goofy shit like that.
Those are the Satan worshipers.
Yeah, but they're out there and they're in positions that dude like they're there.
But Satan, he's a yuckster.
He is.
Well, for sure.
He's a jokester.
Yeah.
He goes by names like Louis
Cypher. The thing I liked about De Niro in this, too, is that usually De Niro's fucking De Niro, like in his prime, Raging Bull and Taxi Driver, et cetera, et cetera. But he usually does his De Niro thing. Like, he didn't really do that in here.
That's true. I will say that.
He's not, making the De Niro grimace or anything like that.
He was in town for one day, and he's like, you guys got 3 hours.
That's not how that went. I looked up I did like a deep dive on this. Like
really? Because I was curious, like they
he was going to play Mickey Rourke's part initially.
Really?
Yeah.
Would have been pretty good.
I thought Mickey Rourke's fucking great. I mean, that's,
I don't know. The trouble I have with Mickey Rourke is that it seems like it's Mickey Rourke in the 50s. It's not like Mickey Rourke is playing a guy from the 50s. He's just doing Mickey Rourke in the 50s. And I'm already like,
That goes with the like because it's the 80s and it's over stylized 80s stuff, so I see what you mean there. It feels like it's an over stylized version of the 50s, and that I get. However, I like that it depicted the 50s like that because you get a lot of depictions of the 50s where people don't cuss, they don't do this, they don't do that, there's not nudity, and because they didn't do that very often when they depicted the time period before. But there were people who cussed, and they did have nudity, and they did have all that shit in the 50s. So, do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, no. I get it. Like, I understand that there are instances where Mickey Rourke's character would have been authentic. Yeah. But to me,
why couldn't he say anything correctly?
That's how he talked. He was called like the new Brando for a long, long time.
Like for real, that's how he talks. He can't say anything correctly.
Yeah, he was kind of a muddled idiot.
Because they had that, like, I thought that was just a bit from the movie. Because, like, how he couldn't say Cypher. He's like Cyphier.
Well, he's supposed, no, he's in character. He's supposed to be from.
But is that supposed to be a New York accent? Or is that
just. Well, he's not particularly literate either as that person he believes he is, you know, at that time. You get what I mean? He's
is
not.
Is that a clue that he's supposed to be, you know, the guy,
well, that's
the whole time.
Well, like when I rewatched the movie, it is a really layered performance because when you know where it's headed and you watch it, it's obvious. Of course, like De Niro knows it's him from the get-go, but it makes it interesting because he can't really hold this guy. It's not that he can't hold him accountable. This guy doesn't know it's him. So he has to have this guy discover it's him in order to fucking get what he's owed.
To get his due. He can't just take it from him. He's got to be presented with.
So every one of those exchanges they have has these different layers when you watch it again, because like he's like, well, there's no sign of this fucking Johnny Friendly guy. He's like, oh, what a shame. As in like you still don't know that you're in fucking denial. Okay.
Yeah. And I think that scene in the church in particular was probably like the best. I think to me personally was the best scene where you have De Niro being like, yo, dude, it's a church.
You're
like,
in a church.
You're in a church. Like, tone it down. And it's funny, like, looking back on it, you're like, ah, I see what he's doing. He's, you know. But ultimately, I kind of feel like the Mickey Rourke-iness of it is taking me out of the film. And I know you said that it's like one of his best performances, which then leads me to believe that Mickey Rourke was kind of a shit actor.
Yeah, that's what I get from
together.
I mean, everyone's entitled to their opinion. I think he did. It's a great performance.
He's great in The Wrestler. He's great in Sin City.
Right. He was great long before those.
So I don't even think he's good in this.
What, you don't think he emotes well? You don't think he's believable as a private investigator?
Like, I don't. Both.
He is wacky. That's what I'm saying. It's a very eccentric performance, and he seems like a sleazy private eye. He seems like a sleazy ass private detective.
What's the
with other layers of his psyche popping out here and there?
So what's the there were things about the actual, I guess, the lore of the movie that I wanted to talk to you about, because there are things that probably need a second viewing, maybe a third viewing, to really like
it's process confusing
all the way through.
The plot's confusing.
What's the point? Like, so De Niro as
how Satan, terrible is wisdom when it doesn't profit the wise? That's the point.
Well, yes, that.
So
that
line, it's the burden of knowing, and you can apply that to anything. You don't have to have amnesia.
Who is supposed to have the aha moment in this movie? Is it are we as the audience supposed to be like, oh, we get it, because he's the one who was victimized from the very beginning. We're now figuring out his victim's journey.
It wasn't.
Or are we supposed to empathize with the devil because he wants his due?
I don't think we're supposed to empathize with anybody except I empathize with Lisa Bonet's character.
Yeah.
I also, again, the treatment, before going on to that, the treatment of the voodoo stuff, it's almost done like an anthropology thing. Like they show those people getting baptized in the river, and they show the people doing their voodoo stuff at night, you know, with the chicken and all that, which I thought the scene was extremely fucking well done. I love the tie into the blues and voodoo, because all that stuff's accurate. And you don't really, people nowadays, you think of certain metal and black metal as having that vibe and all that. But long before that, blues in the South had that. There was a lot of like, and it reminds me again, like I said in text, of the fucking Metalocalypse episode, which that's I'm not like
what you said in text, but
I said it. I said the Death Clock episode.
Okay,
and we went into a much more
semantic fucks.
We went into a much broader philosophical thing where we ended up at Jaden Smith.
I was like, is this the beginning of a meme here?
I think I fucked it all though.
But what your? I'm sorry. Your question though was, are we supposed to empathize with? That's the thing.
I don't mean who are we supposed to empathize with. I'm asking, what's the point? Are we supposed to empathize with a certain character? Are we supposed to?
This deals with one of my favorite things again, which is identity and the amorphous nature of it. Okay, he's trying to elude getting his soul to the devil by stealing another guy's soul, so that if and when he does die, like the idea is, oh, he'll take that guy. You know, but something goes fucking wrong because he gets drafted right after he does this shit.
And he's got to be in the shit.
He's got to be in the shit, and he gets injured, and he comes back and gets amnesia. So then now he doesn't remember what the fuck. But the thing is, he's still accountable. Just because he doesn't remember, he's still accountable for the shit he did. Right? And so he's repressed this fucking person, but it keeps popping out here and there. So anytime they have those weird shots where he's going by the church and all that, that's when he's committing murders, consciousness has pushed it out.
The otherworldly stuff, right? Where you're seeing Mickey Rourke's character passing by a church, and you've got these two twins looking at him, and he goes into the church, and all of that stuff I think is a little bit more metaphysical than what like you're being force-fed, so to speak.
Right.
Which I think the idea of that is more novel than what was actually presented on screen. I think that
I had a feeling you might say that too, because I get what you're saying,
and I don't want to discount it just because like we've got a couple.
The yellow eyes is unfortunate for sure. I said that out of the fucking bat.
That's not a thing for me, because like I'm really enjoying hearing you explain it. Like it just seems so much more impactful hearing it from you, because I don't think they did a good job of portraying the stuff. Like you pick it up.
That's the biggest issue, because like I think that like as a viewer that comes into this movie and
isn't, it's actually really cerebral.
And that's what I mean. Like I think that the idea of the movie is pretty heady in terms of the beat to beat
and weighty. You know, I mean, he fucks his daughter and shoots her in the vagina.
I've seen Old Boy.
I know, but I didn't expect it from this movie. To them to tie in the theme of of incest. And the way he killed, I mean, his gun's in her vagina.
To be honest, well,
we don't see it.
I didn't expect much of anything.
And a lot of that stuff is, you know, and a lot of what's happening, I think, is supposed to be, I don't know if a criticism of like voodoo and sort of what's the other Santeria? The extreme of Christianity. Like, what are they?
The evangelical bullshit.
The evangelical bullshit. Like, I think
extremes of belief.
I think it's supposed to give you like the
dualities.
Like, it's yeah, voodoo's pretty fucked up in terms of, well, I don't know if it is fucked up, but voodoo's got this thing, but also like.
That's what I mean.
These crazy Christians are also doing, you know, wild things.
That's what I mean by anthropology. Like, it has that vibe to it. Like, I don't feel like it's a judgmental film like that. I think it's showing that stuff pretty clearly. It's judging its character. It's judging its protagonist.
Right.
Because he's intentionally putting people in harm's way for his own personal gain. And he's got no fucking integrity because he bites off more than he can chew. It's like, dude, if you're going to sell your soul, like, pay the fee. He can't. He wants to evade that. You know, he's a coward.
He's a coward from the get-go because he's like, well, I guess I'm going to war then, instead of like, you know, paying the piper, so to speak.
For sure. No, and so and when you talk about there's the black preacher who he, you know, it's subtle stuff. That's what I mean. It took me a couple views to like, oh, something's happening here, even though it's quiet and there's no dialogue. I'm like, something's fucking happening. They open that little cabinet and he's got all his fucking voodoo shit in there.
Well,
it reminded me of Eternal Darkness, because there's a level in that game where there's like these.
That's a good fucking game.
Fucking great game. But yeah. Remember the priest, because you go through the different time periods and there's this priest during like the 1600s and they're like secretly worshiping fucking all those demons and everything.
Yeah.
And it's like, there was a lot of that. And it's like, it made me think what's all about Christianity and et cetera, et cetera.
Well,
but behind closed door, it's like you want both sides of the field.
And truth be told, it's taking that character.
No, I'm fascinated.
That character of like that preacher, it's giving you the front face of it. Like, well, yeah, of course I drive a Mercedes Benz. I should be driving a fucking Rolls Royce. Right. Like, give me more money.
Right.
And that's the face that this preacher is giving you.
Right.
And then behind the scenes, you've also got this voodoo shit happening, and it's like, okay,
should you be surprised?
Yeah, no. Right, exactly.
It's hiding in plain sight shit. Yeah. You know,
he's giving you like an even more awful face, and then he's a voodoo priest
on top, which is actually, that's what I mean too, because even if you look at the voodoo thing, like if you're going from cultural relativity, what they did, they killed a chicken, right? Do we kill chickens? Yeah. All fucking day.
All day long.
Chickens, yeah. So what's the big deal, actually? Yeah. It's like, well, they slit its throat and then she started like dancing around like she's going to have an orgy. Good. Like, good. That's cool.
Good.
Yeah.
You know?
No, and that's the thing.
So the hypocrisy, like it kind of shows that to me, you know?
I almost wish that we had taken Satan and this soul selling stuff out of the equation, and we dealt more with
the
mental illness part of it. I really wanted to delve into the voodoo stuff a little bit more. I really wanted to delve into the evangelical stuff a little bit more. But then we get into this like
blues is in it.
No, the blues stuff is cool. Like,
oh, yeah.
We get no,
but
into
I get
this,
it.
Like,
I would have liked them to delve
we get into
all
this
that
like A B thing with Satan and fucking.
It feels like
and
it's just kind of all over the place.
Not even that it feels all over the place. I like the feel. What I don't know if you noticed this, but they didn't give you any sort of like geographical, like Louisiana, New York. Like they didn't fuck you like that. They were just giving you like.
Yeah, they don't spell shit out.
They were giving you clues as to where you were geographically by just like, look, this is a Mardi Gras funeral. If you don't know what this is,
and it's in the dialogue,
but I thought
she went down south. He's like, okay, I gotta go fucking blah blah blah.
New York looked an awful lot like Louisiana. he's like, oh, I'm going to Louisiana, and then he gets to Louisiana, and I'm like, this looks like New York, except the window says Louisiana.
except they've got skulls around all the windows.
Yeah. Speaking of that, like, you know when they did the flashback little sequences to Times Square.
Mm-hmm.
That Times Square was Louisiana. That looked like New York, but they remade a little part of Louisiana as Times Square right there. So
there's a reason why New York looks like Louisiana.
They did do a little bit of that because, yeah.
See, and I mean, I don't know, man. Like, hearing you talk about it, it seems a lot more interesting than it was. And I can see how all those things play out now. And like,
it's just, no, you weren't
getting. The problem was I was just bored. bored.
Or not
it was
engaged
long.
By it.
I feel like they could have cut like 20 minutes out of this thing easily, or at least like George said, I mean, you can't really, I guess you can't really take out the Satan part because that leads into like all the other shit. But like, I feel like if they would have just focused on a couple more things, just more in depth and had a little more payoff versus the last like 30 minutes.
I think a crucial point of departure for both you guys and me is, and I see what you're saying there. If you're not interested from the get-go, one reason is because, again, I think it's one of the best performances of Mickey Rourke's career. You guys aren't particularly impressed by the performance. And that movie sinks or swims with the main character's performance. Like, again, so I'm seeing young Mickey Rourke in his prime with a meaty character to chew on like this and looking all sleazy, like he's very convincing doing, and with little quirks popping out, because I notice other nuances every time I watch it. I'm fixated on just watching the performance. And then I'm like, fuck, dude, they did a great job with production design. But if you're not feeling his performance, you're not feeling the first 45 minutes of this movie.
Or, yeah, or, you know, 45 minutes, yeah, like, interspersed.
But see, and then for me, too, De Niro was on, like, all the promotional stuff, all the covers and everything. So I'm thinking this is going to be a much more De Niro-heavy movie. And then he's in, like, 10 minutes total, probably. Maybe 15.
10 to 15, yeah.
Of an hour and 50-minute movie,
it's long, man. It is very. There are times that I'm looking at the.
Oh, I did it frequently.
I'm looking at my watch, so to speak. I don't carry a watch, but you know, yeah, it is
cool. Christopher Nolan stated the film was a major influence on his 2000 film Memento in terms of the fractured narrative.
I can see that.
BioShock. It's a video game developer. Ken Levine stated Angel Heart was one of several films that inspired the first person shooter BioShock for some reason.
In what way?
Because it does feel like Mickey Rourke is placed in, it feels like,
oh, a he's character, being manipulated.
It feels like a very game. It feels like a man out of water being placed, yeah, in the 50s. I think
it would be a great game. That's what I mean. I felt like I don't feel it's video gamey how it's executed, but the world building. The
story.
Yeah, the story has all that shit there.
It almost feels like Dark City to an extent, where you've got this character.
It's the art direction.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's the I like aspects of it. I just think that the stuff that we're supposed to be like, oh shit, ends up being a little bit like,
because when he's like, who is the boy? I was actually like, yeah, fuck yeah. Where you guys are,
I know who,
like,
I am.
I like that shit. That was good.
Yeah, I thought,
because like that Rhett, that's what he screams in the shower.
That's like, that's me before I go to work.
I know who I am. I know who I am.
So you do get, though, he's not the boy, is the victim. Like that was right. Yeah. Who's underneath that is Johnny Friendly. It's him. Like like that's our protagonist, not the victim.
Yeah.
But
yeah, Harry Angel.
See, that's the thing too. This is where I'm a little forgiving about the corny. They are silly names. I get that. But I do. I know it sounds like the biggest cop out. People have silly names. They do, though. But all of them in one movie, that's a little much.
I'm just wondering, like, why when you're writing this script, you would go with the name Harry Angel.
It's based on a book. And that
writing the book, why you would go with the name?
Well,
Harry,
I think the
Angel.
book decidedly had a more playful tone. When Alan Parker got a hold of this, he wanted to do it more serious. So, but he adapted parts of the book. He changed the name because here's the name of the book: Falling Angel. Mm. You get what I'm saying? He wanted to distance himself from that a little bit, but he liked the idea of the identity.
And the book
stuff
was largely based in New York, from what I understand, too.
Right. He didn't go to New Orleans. And so all that stuff was added by the director.
Which I think is a good move.
So do I. So it's almost kind of like, if anything, he should have distanced himself further from the, maybe changed. Because again, if it's the thing where the movie, the names in the film are so silly that it doesn't jive well with the atmosphere, because the atmosphere is taking itself very seriously.
Yeah.
You know, so I get that.
Yeah.
Comes across, like, when De Niro and Mickey Rourke are sitting down and De Niro's eating those eggs and he's like rolling the egg.
I love that fucking scene.
I thought it was corny. And then he goes, you know, some people think that like eggs are the soul of the whatever. And then he like offers him an egg. It's like, oh, cool. He's a soul eater. I get it. He's like eating souls.
Well, and the other thing,
throws the salt and it's like, oh, I get it. Okay. He's blinding his fucking.
Well, the other thing I thought was fucking hilarious, at least to me, was so that Mickey Rourke's character has been looking for, you know, you know, suspicious person number one, suspicious person number two, suspicious person number three. He finally gets to, you know, he finally gets to this psychic who was like, nah, you know, you got to get the fuck out of here kind of deal. Well, she ends up dead, right?
Yeah.
And her father wants to see Mickey Rourke. That info dump where her dad is explaining beat for beat what happened on this fucking this sacrifice, I'm like, but there is a much better way that we could have could have addressed this.
And you had almost 2 hours to do it.
Literally explaining.
That's lifted almost directly from the book. And you can hear it. You can hear it. It's clunky.
It sounds like narrative dialogue.
Which was like the blues thing when you were texting her, when he says there were like two jackrabbits fucking. It's that's clunky dialogue. Yeah. I mean, you got to really have an actor pull that off.
I feel like that's more towards the 50s, you know. It's just like the weird goofy slang they had back then. Like when she said don't be a gazuni, like when you text it, I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? But when she said it in context, I'm like,
well, for that reason, I'm forgiving of it.
Like, she's an old white bitch in the 50s, you know.
The info dump, the exposition aspect of it though feels clunky because the movie feels like very atmospheric, and then you've got info dumps.
Yeah. You've got this good old boy from fucking Louisiana, or you know, from New Orleans, going like.
But see, I like that.
And then they sacrifice him, and then they pull out his heart, and then he jumps into him, and then he's waiting for the devil.
As kind of a cult horror film, and that's really what it's evolved into. I mean, it's a curiosity to me though that the movie, because it has this kind of ambition, and I like that he's talking about like, oh wow, the dad is a Satan worshiper, and he's like, Satan protects the powerful, and blah 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 blah. Because regardless how clunky that sounds, it's plausible to me. Well, I think this shit is going on.
I do like when he switches, like when he goes from a supposed non-believer into you know, praising Satan and all that stuff. I like that stuff. But
I like it too because it makes me question if it's actually happening. See, and it still does. Oh,
yeah. I guess I can.
Because I don't. It's even the end.
Even at the end, you don't know if any of it is.
Is this just psychosis?
Yeah.
Like, is he just fucked? Is this just all cognitive distortion? You know, and so I know they didn't make that overt.
Unfortunately, but like in this film, if you're like, well, it's just psychosis, then none of it.
Well, again,
none of it has any weight.
Well, because then you could make the extension that the director's saying that religious fervor is psychosis, which it would be, except enough people do it where it's a norm.
Yeah.
So if your psychosis is a norm, then it's not psychosis, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of leads to that conversation, but only with fucks like me picking apart like this. But
well, I definitely feel like I do like to pick this apart. Like I think this is another
Matt.
Another,
where are you going?
Piss, dude.
Oh,
we didn't have to disrupt the flow of the show.
Oh, I definitely think it'll be funny when they.
I definitely feel like this is a film that's better spoken about than viewed.
Damn.
Because I'm having more fun, and there's more entertainment to be honed from discussing the overarching themes and some of the underbelly of it than the film itself, because I'm watching it and I go, this is some corny bullshit, but I do like
aspects.
I do like aspects of it. And I do like the idea of this film, but if I'm parsing it down to the film, it just doesn't hold water, man.
I got you.
Waterman.
Again, the most lamentable thing out of all of it to me is the 30-second yellow eye thing. In fact, I would actually recommend turning it off before the last.
Yeah, seconds. Yeah, like she's dead on the thing. Gun in her vagina. Stop.
And he says it's my daughter. Blah blah blah. Cut to credits.
Yeah, cut
real right quick.
There. Yep. Don't even watch the last like 10 seconds.
They do a kind of stylish credits thing though, where he's in this descending elevator, you know, which is a metaphor.
I almost wanted fucking Thriller to start, dude.
That part was too fucking cute because they're like, you're gonna burn for this, and he goes, I know, in hell.
That's the
and then they
speaking,
show the elevator and it's like, get it, he's fucking going to hell. This is his spirit.
Okay, but if you listen, which you're not going to, but at the end of the credits, you hear him saying both names. He's saying Johnny and he says the other name, because meaning you hear a whisper saying it's De Niro, saying that he has both souls now. So what?
No, I keep going.
Oh, so when you talked earlier to, what are you listening
keep going,
to?
Keep going.
I'm fucking curious,
keep
man.
Keep going.
Okay, so.
He's just smiling like a goon over here.
It kind of, when you say too corny, like the movie doesn't feel corny because it, what the fuck is that? Oh, you're listening to Thriller?
Here comes Yellow Baby. It's a gun in her pussy.
That would have been cool if they did that.
That's what I was saying, man. It'd be great.
But that'd be too fun because this movie's not, it's supposed to feel overbearing and harsh.
See, it doesn't, though. When you explain it, it does. But, like, a lot of it just feels like...
Again, if you're not connecting with Mickey Rourke, you're not going to connect with the pathos of the movie.
It felt like a silly... like, not a comedy, but, like, a cop movie. You know, just one of those...
To me, it felt like
a buddy cop. It's a buddy cop movie with no buddy.
It felt like a really good method actor to me.
He met somebody that might be his buddy, and he murdered him.
Yeah, dude. I think it felt like a really good method actor in his prime playing in a very kind of odd film to even exist. So like that, this is one as a complete, if you're a horror completist and you haven't seen it, I'd say like as a horror fan, it's something you should weigh in on because, you know, you guys have heard of this movie before, right?
Yeah. Only through you. I mean, I'd seen the artwork, you know, and to me it looked like a cheesy crime movie. And I think that's just cause I associate De Niro with crime movies.
Not cheesy crime movies.
No. Cape Fear's tight as fuck.
I'm only willing to follow you so far now.
Goodfellas is a cheesy crime movie.
No.
Casino is cheesy.
Cheesy.
Taxi Driver, cheesy. No. Raging Bull, cheesy.
This is a cheesy
crime Godfather movie. Part 2, the cheesiest. I know you're not big on the Godfather
series. I'm not a big fan of the Godfather series.
But yeah, I'm glad you guys saw it though, because I think, again, like it is, I am glad that it is. Not, you know, not that this makes my opinion worth anything more, because I don't want to get attacked for that, but it is well regarded now, very well regarded. I'm glad it's got a nice beefy score on good old IMDb with the DDD. And for the listeners that haven't seen it, I'd recommend it. It's on HBO Max.
I think it's on Hulu with a paid subscription too.
Is it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's worth. I think it's worth a watch.
Some people will like it more than, again, if you don't connect with the main character. But with the lead performance, you guys are just kind of about it. I think it's a great performance, so I'm connecting with everything that happens. That's huge. That'd be like if you watched Alien and you're like, I don't fucking like Sigourney Weaver. Mm. Well, that's not going to work out too well.
It's true.
Yeah. You know? Like, I watched Forrest Gump, you know, but I fucking hate that performance.
How to make Sigourney Weaver unlikable. How do we do that?
Well, I don't know.
Make her Mickey Rourke.
Put her in a Sasuke film.
Oh, yikes.
That would do it.
All right, well, that's Angel Heart. I mean, I would still watch it. There's a whole lot of good stuff going on. I just think it's some corny bullshit.
Did you think that sequence is effective at all, though, when they're having sex?
Yeah, I think
that
so.
That was the one thing that really grabbed my attention. At first, I was like, ugh, another fucking sex scene with this guy, and then it started getting crazy.
He didn't have any sex scenes, though.
He had that naked roll around with that girl in the bed.
I liked that scene quite a bit, dude, because
I like that.
I like it because it wasn't a sex scene. It was just like them kind of like building up to having sex.
It was just like, let's just show her tits.
I'm kind of into that scene because it's very.
Well, yeah, when she's by the fucking water fountain thing and her fucking shirt's all wet, like that was good.
Yeah,
all that was good. But then that's what I mean. It adds this layer of crusty grossness. Cause you're like, oh, is this fucking dad?
Wait,
like,
was Lisa Bonet supposed to be 17 in this movie, or she was 17 when she had her kid?
I think she was supposed to be 17 in this movie.
See, that's what I thought. And then Ollie was like, no, she was 17 when she had her kid. No. And I was like, I was pretty sure that he said
the norms were different back then, of course.
He's like 16.
Yeah,
she's already had a kid. I'm in.
He was gung-ho.
She's already had a kid.
He's like, that doesn't justify anything.
No, back then.
He's like, it's close enough. A lot of 50s, yeah.
Yeah,
17, 30?
Yeah, it doesn't justify it to me, but I was born 50 years later.
Old enough to party? Yeah, okay.
Well, yeah, there were fucking 13 and 14-year-olds getting married, especially in the South back then.
My sister got married at 15.
See, and that's not even in the 50s. That's
fucking gross.
Gross.
Yeah. What the fuck's up with that, Matt?
She's trash.
What did Alia think of this fuck? She's no Lisa Bonet, put it that way.
She's trash.
Oh, Alia didn't like it. She thought it was boring. She fucking thought it was corny.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn, B.
I really did think it was De Niro for the first 5 minutes. I was like, man, he looks De Niro.
He's okay. Looking pretty mean. What the fuck?
He dyed his hair blonde.
And then I was like, oh, wait, that's not De Niro.
It's not De Niro at all.
And then like 20 minutes later, I'm like, holy shit, that's Mickey Rourke.
See, if they made this film now, they would start out with a real grisly murder to catch your attention and shit like
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah, you got to do something in the first. Instead, they had a dead body in an alley with a dog, and I was like, you know, and I realized what the confusion was. I said the dog is Trickster, but it's not. It's Trickster is the dog. That's it. You know, it's kind of like red jacket, black sleeves, black jacket, red sleeves.
That is a big difference. That is a big difference, though. A square is a rectangle, but a rectangle is not a square.
Right? Right. See, I was thinking about it. I was like, oh, shit. You know, I kept saying the dog is Trickster. I didn't mean the dog is Trickster, but I mean, like, Trickster is the dog.
So you have to, like, go back and re-represent all of that.
You got to retcon your own shit.
Yeah.
I realize where the confusion lies.
Well, now people that align with you are going to be all fucked up.
But see, then
because you got the motherfuckers believing the dog is Trickster. They're like, oh yeah, yeah, that's what I thought.
See, no, they're still on board. But like the people who were on the fence are going to come over now.
Because it's more retarded.
It's more plausible. Now.
Well, what they're going to do is say, oh, that's what I figured he meant. It's like, no, you fucking didn't. No, you thought the dog was calling the shots the whole time.
Yeah. Well, now they're going to realize their error and they're going to come back to the light. Because I was right all along.
You fucking morons. We'll see you on episode 295. This is Jorge signing out.
This is Matt.
This is Red. Angel Heart fucking rules.
Oh, yeah. We watched Hellbent.
That sucked.
That's not a...
Don't watch that.
Yeah, talk about corny bullshit. Don't watch that. Yeah.
Watch gay porn instead. For real. I mean, for real, because it's a gay slasher film. I should qualify what I'm saying. Yes, yes.
Bad horror movie, gay porn. I don't know.
For real.
Oh, Jesus. All right. Bye.
I'm not going to worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever going to be all right, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.